one change in the handbook written at the office opens tomorrow. It's actually open now, so you just say it's open for business. There's a real art piece.
So can I just say, just ask you that question, who actually is in charge when everybody's out of state?
How is it?
Oh, Madam Treasurer.
How are you?
Sorry, I'm a little late.
Yes, quite all right.
Amusing, but quite all right.
Good morning. As you may notice, the governor is out of town, and the lieutenant governor was called away in a family emergency and will not be able to be with us as he planned. So this will be an amazingly brief meeting, I believe. But
I'm delighted to be here with the treasurer, and my best wishes to the lieutenant governor. I hope his father's doing okay, and to the governor who's on vacation. That's terrific. I think that's great. Just a dumb question. When both are out of state, who's in charge? I don't really know, but I guess two recovering legislators are going to sit here, Board of Public Works. And let me just mention something that happened last week with unclaimed property. That's, as everybody knows, is the $1 billion that I'm currently holding for Marylanders. It has all been spent by the legislature and the governor, but in perpetuity, we owe that money to whoever it is that it rightfully belongs to. And we spend quite a bit of time trying to reunite people with it. We went out to the fairs recently and set up kiosks, and I'm happy to report that over 2,000 fairgoers at the county and state fair checked the database. Some of them who found money, it was just a little extra money, maybe enough for a tank of gas or take the kids to the movies or spouse to dinner. But one Marylander in particular at the Great Frederick Fair checked the database, found out that he had over $25,000 in unclaimed property. Tax-free. So he's very happy. I'm sure he had a good evening at the fair. Then there were three very happy people at the State Fair in Timonium. Wonderful, wonderful event. Three different fairgoers up there claimed more than $20,000 each. So I'm happy to report at the fairs we returned over $330,000. I hope people go to MarylandTaxes.com. It's everybody from Governor O'Malley to everybody else in the state that we're holding money for. And what I love about it is that unlike the lottery, you don't have to buy a ticket. It's free. Most of the money we return is tax-free. And then just one other outreach.
So this is just people who all of a sudden have forgotten.
Well, these are people that
$25,000.
Yeah, this could be a life insurance policy that one of their deceased relatives left to them or passed away and didn't tell anyone. It's just a huge amount of money. And I agree, you and I, of course, we would not let $25,000 go unnoticed, but some people do. It's just finances are very, very difficult for a lot of people to deal with and talk about, and so unfortunately these things end up in safe deposit
boxes.
But
I think the point is there are circumstances where people really don't know it. It could have been held in trust, it could be in a box or something, so it behooves people to look at your list even if they think they're quite sure they don't have anything.
She should be the comptroller.
She's
good.
No,
perfect.
Right.
I agree completely. I mean, it's just amazing to me how much money we get, and as quickly as we reunite it with people, more money comes in. So please go to MarylandTaxes.com. If you or your network check it out, it's fun, and as I said, you don't have to buy a ticket. And then secondly, on outreach, we just opened a new field office for the comptroller's office on the lower shore in Salisbury at Seagull Square. It's a wonderful location on South Salisbury Boulevard. It's on the extended campus of Salisbury University. It's going to be much more accessible than the current office, our old office in the courthouse. And the office, frankly, is now open, so please stop in if you're down there and say hi to our dedicated taxpayer employees as we reference ourselves. And for that matter, visit the website to find out locations at all the full-service branch locations from Salisbury to Cumberland and all points in between. Madam Treasurer, once again, it's a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. I'd just like to take a moment to point out this is the 2nd of October, and I asked the Secretary of Budget if she would be prepared to say a couple of words about how Maryland is staying on top of the fiscal impact of this stalemate and action taken by Congress, stalemate in Washington, which has resulted in the federal government being shut down. The federal government, to some extent, also including federally paid employees who work within the state, not only work for the federal government in the state of Maryland, but who are considered state employees, but federally paid, about 25 to 30% of our budget is directly or indirectly federally funded. Most of that, as I understand, is coming through as usual. Medicaid is coming through. Those major programs are coming through, but there are clearly significant adverse impacts on the state and the taxpayers of the state. Many of us have friends and relatives who work for the federal government and who are home unwillingly right now, but at home, not being paid. Madam Secretary, I think it'd be helpful for everybody to hear directly from the authority.
Thank you. Well, obviously, I would just start off by saying, of course, the best thing that could happen is for the federal shutdown to end very quickly. Shutting the federal government down does have an impact on our revenues. It has an impact on our economy as a whole. The Bureau of Revenue Estimates has advised that annual federal wages in Maryland total about $25 billion. So what that means is for a two-week period, if federal workers don't receive their paychecks, that basically translates into a loss of $5 million a day in state revenues. As federal workers don't get their paycheck, it means that they are likely put in the position where they won't be spending their money on any taxable goods. And so as they change their spending patterns, that translates into an almost $15 million that will be lost in taxable economic activity in terms of the impact of the federal shutdown. So the bottom line there, it means that businesses are going to feel the pinch, and as a result, our economy will be hurt, and you know our revenues could continue to decrease. We have... as a department, been in touch with all of the state agencies, asking them to give us an assessment of which programs would be adversely impacted by the federal shutdown. I've been participating in the phone calls, conference calls with the White House and with the Office of Management and Budget as they give us updates in terms of the federal guidance. I guess the good news for Maryland right now is that most of our major programs aren't going to be impacted. We will continue to get funding for Medicaid. We will continue to get funding for the Child Support Enforcement Program. Our unemployment benefits will continue, and the Maryland Health Exchange Program will continue to be operating throughout this period. There are a couple of programs that we think certainly may be impacted, but not for the immediate short term. For the food stamps program, it appears that we certainly have enough funding to go through the month of October, and the same is for the energy assistance program. The one area that we do have some concern about is the supplemental nutrition program for women, infants, and children. It's commonly referred to as the WIC program. that is a program that the federal government has said that they are not going to provide funding for. The department does have monies to fund it for a limited period, so obviously we're staying on top of that, and a decision will be made in terms of, you know, going forward. But I would just say, overall, I think for the time being, we're probably in pretty good shape. We do have about 11,000 employees who are either fully or partially funded with federal funds. We've given guidance right now that certainly for those whose positions are fully funded with federal monies, that they not be furloughed, that we that they continue to report to work, certainly for the remainder of this week, and we will be getting back in touch with agencies as we get more information. But I would just say this is certainly a situation where every day we're getting additional information, and that's basically where we stand there.
My recollection is that in this year's state budget, there was a fund set aside.
Yeah.
To, is that?
So when the General Assembly met in the 2013 session, they did set aside $100 million that could be used to address the adverse effects of sequestration. The governor has used about $9 million to address vulnerable populations, such as Meals on Wheels was certainly one of them. We used some money for Head Start. Those payments have already been made, so there are still additional monies there that can be used if need be. We have until the end of calendar year 2013 to make a decision in regard to how those monies would be used if need be. So we do have some cushion there. And obviously we always have our rainy day fund, which is 5% of our revenue.
Yeah.
Well, it's obviously a calamity for the state, but if you aren't sobered up already, think about 2 weeks from now when the debt ceiling battle is joined. So I describe it as a calamity wrapped around a train wreck unless cooler heads prevail.
Cooler heads prevailing would be key.
Well, and I'm sure you'll keep us informed. But I think it's important for all the folks who work in the government and for the citizens and taxpayers of Maryland to understand that we have people in key positions like yours, Madam Secretary, who are on top of it, and a plan for dealing with even a catastrophe.
It's a calamity wrapped around a train wreck. Appreciate also the leadership, but you know, the revenues to the state, obviously we have to keep an eye on, but the real problem is the $90 billion plus economic activity represented by the federal government, to the extent Madam Treasurer, that begins to impact. There's fully a third, not of the revenues, which obviously are of concern, but a third of the entire state's GDP. That's significant, and we appreciate the briefing from the Budget Secretary.
Well, let me say, you have mentioned, Peter, Mr. Comptroller, several times in the last month and a half, Bethesda. And just remember, there are a lot of people working at NIH or at the Naval Hospital who will not be having lunch out. And, you know, it just is a rolling impact. So we're very sensitive to it. Thank you. There's nothing else. The first agenda, the Secretary's agenda.
Good morning, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. We have 13 items on the Secretary's agenda. We have one report of an emergency procurement. We're prepared for questions.
No.
Item 12, that is an interesting item from the Stadium Authority. They are working on the Performing Arts Center at the Ocean City Convention Center. And with Michael Friends from the Stadium Authority, we have Mayor Meehan from Ocean City.
Good
Your Honor.
Morning. Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, thank you for having us here this morning. I tell you, it's a beautiful day. It was a little tough leaving the Eastern Shore and coming west. Annapolis is beautiful, and the ride was beautiful, but it was a little difficult leaving the Eastern Shore this morning. We're here today to ask that you award the contract for the second phase of this current expansion for the Performing Arts Center portion of the Ocean City Convention Center to the Whiting Turner Contracting Company. I'm here with the Stadium Authority and with our city engineer. We're certainly prepared to answer any questions if you have any. This will continue an almost 20-year partnership with the Stadium Authority and the State of Maryland in our convention center, one that has been very successful, and we look for this second part of this, the phase two, to make it even more successful. So we ask for your approval this afternoon.
Thank you. Any questions? Congratulate you, Your Honor, on 25% MBE participation.
Right, thank you. I think everything went very, very well.
Well, we look forward to visiting.
Good. Well, we look forward to everybody visiting. That's
yes.
We only have one industry, that's tourism, and we're very fortunate. Would like to report, and I know the comptroller will be happy to hear that. You know, even though we had some inclement weather early in the season and things looked like they were going to be down a little bit, actually we're ahead. We had probably, when you look from May 1st to September 30th, the best season we've ever had. Our room tax, which is a good economic indicator, was up 5.11% in July and about 4.8% in August. So we're moving forward. We're continuing to entertain the visitors from around this mid-Atlantic area, and Ocean City, things are looking good.
What I like about Ocean City, Madam Treasurer, it's open all year round.
Yes. Absolutely.
In contrast to the federal government.
I plan to keep it that way. Thank you very much.
Good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's great. Anything else on the Secretary's agenda? If not,
move approval.
Move approval. Second. All those in favor? Congratulations, Madam Secretary.
Thank you.
It was unanimous.
Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. We have six items on our agenda this morning, and I'd be happy to try to answer any questions.
I've been asked to ask you to tell us about a highlight on your agenda. Is there anything that stands out tremendously?
Actually, I do like it's item 5A. It's the Kimball item. It's in addition to Green Ridge State Forest, two parcels. And I think what's particularly attractive about it is that we are creating a more direct public access point to this part of the forest where we didn't have that direct access before. It scores an 88, and I think it's just an excellent addition to Green Ridge State Forest.
That's very good. That's another place that we have to go.
And we did get it at a discount.
That's very good.
That's a question. I'm going to be supporting all the items on today's agenda, but I have an unrelated question which I'd like your help with. Many folks obviously live up in Baltimore County and keep an eye on what happens in the county. Some of you may be familiar with a proposal to sell the North Point Government Center in Dundalk to a private developer. I'm sure the transportation secretary, a former executive in that area, at least has a passing awareness of that. Anyway, this particular proposal to sell the government center has upset quite a few folks who live in Dundalk. They're concerned about the prospect of losing the hub of their community. Their concerns escalated at a public meeting a couple of weeks ago when a Baltimore County police officer told the audience that the center had already been sold. Not sure why the officer would have gone out of his way to make mention of this, apparently a spokesperson for the county said that North Point had in fact not been sold, and commented that it was just uninformed speculation. Anyway, the reason I'm interested in this is because the state of Maryland has invested a considerable amount of money through the years to upgrade the public recreational facilities that are located at the North Point Center. And I have to think the state would be required to give its approval in some shape or form before a property sale can be transacted. I was wondering if either you or Ms. McDonald perhaps could provide us with some sense of what the statutory requirements are in a situation like this. Specifically, does the state need to issue its approval? Who's responsible for doing so? And what are the terms and conditions?
There, I think there is program open there, space money in there.
Right. There is, and there are statutory provisions to address issues like this whenever there is a conversion, when program open space money has been invested in a property. Off the top of my head, I cannot remember what the natural resources site is, but there is. I'm not sure Chip knows.
The conversion of program open space land, if it's going to be converted back to non-open space, it has to be approved by three cabinet secretaries,
mm-hmm.
the Secretary of Natural Resources, the Secretary of Planning, and the Secretary of Budget. So those three cabinet secretaries mm-hmm. will approve or not approve the request of the county to convert the land back to non-open space. In addition to the approvals of those three secretaries, they have to offer up land that's equivalent to it and put that into open space. I think we had that. Exactly. We had that same thing happen with a school in Baltimore County
right.
That they were asking how that process went there. I don't know mm-hmm. if is that correct, basically, Chip?
And that's correct for acquisitions. Chip Price, Department of Natural Resources.
Well, it says development, too, or?
This is development, Madam Treasurer.
But,
in this case, we do have Program Open Space has development money in that site, and we put some money into the tennis courts, as well as some money into there's a theater area inside the building itself. And those projects were funded within a 20-year time period. So we still hold the county responsible for replacing the recreational opportunities that are there. So the process would be, and the county has contacted us already, just saying that we might be doing this, and they wanted to confirm that there was program open space money there as well. What the county would do is, once they get their proposal, they would come to us, to Department of Natural Resources, and present their proposal, saying how they're going to replace whatever they take out of there, whatever they injure at that site, whatever recreational opportunities, and it'll be reviewed by our department, and then it would be signed off on, as Secretary said, by the Department of Natural Resources Secretary, the Department of Budget Management Secretary, and also the Department of Planning Secretary. And they would have to approve the conversion of the original recreation opportunity to some other recreational opportunity.
So, Madam Chair, if I could just ask on the record if you could let us know on the board when, and I know we don't have a particular role, but I would like you to let us know if the county does approach you for more than just information purposes, but actually is moving forward with a possible sale of the North Point Government Center. If you could notify me and any other member of the board
yeah.
that you think is appropriate, I would be grateful.
Right. There's a formal process where they'll actually, the county will submit a packet to us requesting that conversion.
Right, but I guess the comptroller is asking that, even though the board's not in the loop on that legally, that the
right,
board
once we
kept.
Once we receive it, we'll certainly inform
the
board.
But the other thing is, there could possibly be capital grant money, general obligation bond proceeds in the project as well.
I don't think so.
There's not? Okay.
What are the criteria? I mean, so it goes to the three secretaries for what purpose? Just to attest that, yes, there is a replacement of some sort.
Right, there's a replacement. It doesn't have to be in kind. In other words, if we had put money in to develop a tennis court, they don't necessarily have to replace, build another tennis court. But the county would have to show us where they're providing a recreational facility of equal value from a recreational standpoint to the community. And in this case, I think one of the major concerns, what I'm hearing, again, we haven't received anything officially, but we've had phone calls and such from the public, is they're very concerned about the stage, the theater area in that facility, is what I understand. So we would be looking at that as well.
Madam Chair, I would like the Secretary to look into the issue of grants and whether there are any outstanding or that we may have overlooked, and just also report back to us. Thank you. I don't know whether there are or aren't, but thank you for bringing that up.
But just so I'm clear, you all, how much discretion do you all have actually in signing on?
Well, I think we have a very good bit of discretion as far as determining the recreational value. We look
including the stage area.
Including the stage area, we would want to see something better than what was taken. Basically, we'd want to see an improvement in the recreational facility for that area. So we would have to go out once we know what the project is. We'd have to go out and review it, see what's being proposed to be taken, and then what's proposed to be replaced.
Thank you.
We'll get back to you. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. That was an unrelated item. I move approval of the agenda.
Second. All those in favor? It's unanimous. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Madam Secretary.
Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, there are two items on the Department of Budget and Management's agenda for today. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Move approval.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous again.
Then
it's the university.
Jay Webbins, representing the University System of Maryland. We have four items on the agenda today here to answer any questions.
Second. All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? Yeah. Unanimous. Here we go. Information technology.
Stacia Cropper, Department of Information Technology. We have four items on the agenda if you have any questions.
You're lucky.
Yep. So anybody want to add stuff to the agenda? Move approval.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. It's unanimous. I would like to recognize Joan Marshall, who is the Executive Director of the College Savings Program. We had an item just now on the agenda, but if there is anyone in this room who does not have a college savings plan, please contact Ms. Marshall, who is the nation's number one authority and the head of our own Maryland plan. Thank you. All righty. Moving right along, transportation. Mr. Secretary.
For the record, Jim Smith, Secretary of Transportation. Good morning, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. MDOT is presenting 17 items. We'd be happy to respond to any questions.
No, I move approval and thank you for the job you're doing. Okay. It's really very impressive.
Thank you. Motion's made. Second. All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? Nay. It's unanimous. Mr. Secretary.
Good afternoon, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. Al Collins, Secretary of Department of General Services. The department has 7 items on our agenda, and we'd be glad to answer any questions you might have on these items.
I don't, but just as the comptroller brought up a slightly unrelated item, I do have to tell you on behalf, though he doesn't know it, of both the comptroller and myself, the mortar is starting to fall apart again on the front steps of our building. And before somebody catches their heel, twists their ankle, and sues the state of Maryland, you guys do a great job, but somehow it just...
That particular set of steps has been problematic. Yeah. We're on it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Thomas, you got that.
favorable. Second.
Move.
All those in favor, aye. Opposed, nay. Unanimous. That's it. Thank you very much.
Did what? No. Oh, no.